This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid,
to take a stand. With Chicago Lens, brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, the Digital Transformation Unit, RF Funkin Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust that you're doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, that's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796. You can WhatsApp me on 439-3043, that's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us live on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So let me give you a lay of the land today. I have some special guests, a special guest in particular, in the studio today. And we're going to talk about the RCI, the RCL project slated for Paradise Island, much talked about, RCI. And then we're going to also later on in the show, on the second hour, talk about a couple of interesting things in the news. But the one and only Diane Phillips, as she always is able to do, has brought us a vice president of Royal Caribbean, Mr. Jay Snyder. Snyder. Who is going to talk to us about this very, very topical development proposed for Paradise Island. Welcome, lady. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Shivargo. It's a pleasure to be here. Wish we were all together, but good to hear your voice, and thank you very much for providing the time. Just wanted to say one little word about Jay. You know, I tried to get him to stay over an extra day. He's, you know, corporate vice president sounds so stuffy and high up there and everything. He can't because he has to be back in Florida on Thursday because it's Take Your Daughter to Work Day.
Oh, wow, nice. I understand, sir. I feel you. Welcome, Jay.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So glad to have you with us. Forgive me, I was following Diane's lead in helping you not to feel so stuffy. I hope that's okay.
Well, I love the fact that your mom's listening, so it's great.
She's always listening, so be careful what you say to me because she sometimes gets a little angry, you know?
Yeah.
So why they say that to you? I'm so glad to have you with us to help us understand a bit better what's going on with your development. I don't need to tell you that it's caused quite a bit of conversation in the nation. And so hopefully we can get to understand better what's happening. First of all, can I ask you to help us appreciate what is proposed for your development on that?
Yeah. Again, thanks for having us. Sure. Great to answer the questions and kind of get the facts out about our development, which we think is both going to be positive economically and positive for the environment in the Bahamas. So it's if you think of our strategy, we continue to grow tourists and visitation into the Bahamas. The Bahamas is one of the most, if not the most important destination for us anywhere in the world. We've been focused for years in partnering government as well as local businesses to improve the brand of Nassau, New Providence, and the Bahamas overall. And so in 2017, we started quietly buying about 13 acres of private property in and around Paradise Island. We reached an agreement with the government in principle, subject to, of course, environmental scrutiny, to develop a 17-acre beach club, which is inclusive of the 13 acres of private property that we own and 4 acres of crown land on the western end of Paradise Island. The intent of the project is a really great beach day. If you look at that project or that land and the property, the vast majority of it is in disrepair. It's either land that we purchased where it was abandoned or where houses are in significant disrepair. And so we're excited to build a really great beach club, which is largely going to be made up of, beach chairs, pools, great Bahamian food, bar service, retail, authentically Bahamian music. Again, a really great beach day for the minority of our passengers, which is another thing that gets often missed in the narrative.
So there's some follow up questions I have based on what you've said. So, and I think it's important to note that the property that you bought, you indicated was the property. Most of the property is abandoned or in disrepair. So this is not. This was not property which was under productive use. And you didn't say so, but were your acquisitions, the private acquisitions, so this property was already owned by private concerns. These were not, the majority of it, not government-owned, 13 acres, not government-owned, already privately owned. Were they privately owned by, if you don't mind saying, by non-Bahamians or Bahamians?
It was a mix. Nicolas Cage owned one of the houses. He's a well-known American actor. The Hall brothers were Bahamians. It's a mix of people.
Mike Mora actually grew up on that beach. His father passed away years ago, and so that was one of the houses that had been neglected. The owner of the sports center had lived in one for a while, but the house and as Jay said, the Hall brothers. You may remember the little optometry shop on Parliament Street. That was Dr. Randy Hall, family, and his wife. But for the most part, people had thought that there was glamour and a romance and an excitement about building on Paradise Island on an end where you could only get to it by boat. There is no road running to it. And I lived in that area for a while. So I can tell you, Shibargo, that in the beginning, it was a lot of fun. After 6 months, some of that glamour just dissipated. You'd be slogging back and forth in a small whaler, and the waves would be crashing over you, haul groceries up the hill. So a lot of those houses were kind of broken dreams. The potential there was tremendous, and Royal Caribbean was just looking for a day at the beach that their guests could enjoy.
But that's interesting, because if you go over the bridge, to my recollection, if you at any point you travel on Paradise Island, you're going to end up, if you go on the left, you're going to end up at Atlantis some places. So there's nowhere beyond Atlantis to go. If you go to the right, you're going to end up a lot of Comfort Suites and all that area, Ocean Club, etc. So this piece of property, you cannot access by going over Paradise Island Bridge.
That's correct. You can only get to it by boat.
So
that's a very important thing to note. I've heard people say to me, well, taxi drivers say, well, they're going to be boating these people to the beach themselves, et cetera. And so there's no place for taxi drivers. But right now, if somebody wanted to go to that property, you're saying there's no way a taxi driver could take them.
There isn't, but look, can I unpack that a little bit?
Sure, please.
So, we have to eventually get from the Port of Nassau, and we've said it'll be open to our guests as well as local Bahamians from the essentially downtown Nassau over to Paradise Island by boat for that reason. We don't own, we can't own, we don't want to own a Bahamian water taxi business. And so we've been, you know, we're hoping to contract with a new Bahamian partner or series of Bahamian partners. And again, our contribution is a contract to pay fees to move people. You know, we've met extensively with the taxi association. Because the theory is these would all be you know, taxi union boat employees as we go and create a new vibrant water taxi service or as a water taxi service is created that we then contract. We can't drive people there. We won't drive people there.
And you don't propose to add your you don't propose as a business for profit yourself or internal business offer the ferry service to your location. You're saying that's going to be some Bahamian or Bahamians in their enterprise providing that service for yourself.
100%. I mean, that's again one of the misconceptions. There's a lot of misconceptions out there about the project.
That's what Sea Live exists for. So I try to educate folks. So the word out for you.
Well, I'll add on to it. I mean, we have an aspiration, and that aspiration is 100% of the operation. Whether it's the water taxi business that we need to contract with, whether it's the local food provider to provide great Bahamian food, whether it's the lifeguard, security, laundry, environmental monitoring, all of that, our aspiration is 100% local Bahamian businesses that will help bring the project to life.
And if that is your aspiration, the only way I see that aspiration being frustrated is if you can't find the Bahamians to do so. And so that's your aspiration, you can deliver on it so long as Bahamian concerns can deliver on it. Because I was listening to you on the authentic Bahamian food and music, and I was thinking there's not a possible chance you were going to be providing that true inauthentic Bahamians or inauthentic providers.
Well, it's actually part of the fun. So goal one, find partners in and around Nass or New Providence that can provide the service. Goal two, if we can't do that in every aspect of it, find somebody who we can help scale their business. So maybe there's a laundry business that can help from a laundry perspective on NASA. We don't want to build that infrastructure. We'd prefer they scale that infrastructure, but we can provide the capital and assets to help them scale. Third, if the business doesn't exist, what are our opportunities then to find ready Bahamians who want to then go create that new opportunity? And then fourth, if we can't do all of that, which I'm pretty confident those first three will get us most of the way there, we of course can hire, but our commitment is to only hire locally. So our commitment is to only hire Bahamian. So whether it's
a business. So where you have to provide the service yourself, your notion is, and that's your last resort, your notion is maybe you'll hire the Bahamians who deliver it on our behalf. That's what you're saying.
Yep, as a last resort. Yep.
And in fact, Shivargo and your listening audience, it won't even be Royal Caribbean, Royal Beach Club doing the hiring, and the Bahamian who is president of that Royal Beach Club and his or her staff going through the whole review process. So the contract, even though they're backed by Royal Caribbean, are actually coming from a Bahamian-owned company.
That's right.
So, I mean, I think that's a huge question answered for people who have wondered about the maximization of Bahamian participation beyond the simple employment on that property that you are going to develop. Because I have to tell you, the cruise ship industry has a reputation for extracting more things at the expense of the local population. I only tell you, I'm saying what the perception is. So that would have to come into the notion of they've been approved for this project, because people were generally thinking, like everything else, Bahamians will have just a minimum play in the development and in the operations. And I'm hearing you say exactly the opposite.
I read those articles too. And, you know, our commitment is pretty clear. And it's been a great partnership with the Prime Minister and the Deputy Prime Minister, pushing us to make sure that we really genuinely maximize Bahamian participation. And that participation is everything from up to 49% equity ownership for Bahamians, which includes equity for the government in lieu of essentially a lease for 4 acres of crown land. So that's enduring equity into the sovereign wealth fund for the Bahamas. It's then an opportunity for the individual Bahamian to invest into an equity fund that we hope to do the raise of this fall, and that will allow individuals to participate. And then it is the participation in all of the bespoke parts of the business. And then again, if that doesn't work, it will also then be jobs, hundreds of jobs when you look at the total impact. And all of that is direct economic participation. And kind of what I would call then the addition to that, just to show that it's not a commitment just to the beach club that we want to go build, but to the Bahamas, is we've agreed to a new 1% tourism levy, 1% of gross revenue to a new tourism fund to improve other attractions around Nassau in the Bahamas. Because it's, again, and we've said this before, but it's as important to improve Nassau New Providence overall. When we started this project, when we started acquiring land in early 2017, we were bringing a little over 1 million guests a year to Nassau. By the time we open and by the time we get to 2027, 10 years later, we'll be at 2.5 million guests. The maximum capacity of the beach club will be less than 40% of that capacity. And as a result, that means 60% of our guests improved attractions, experiences, enriched opportunities in and around Nassau. And so we were happy to pay a 1% levy because, frankly, we want to make sure that that money can get steered into investing into improving other experiences in and around the island.
And if I may add something to that, too, part of the beach experience, and remember, this is just an excursion. This is not a private island destination or anything. It's a day at the beach. So you have so many hours there, and you have this beautiful sand and the woods and Bahamian food and music. Very low-key demonstrations of how to weave straw, that kind of thing. Interacting with Bahamians, operated by Bahamians. And when you come back from that, in order to get back to the cruise ship, you have to go through Bay Street. So you come back at the straw market, drives all that business through the straw market, and then back down to the entry of the new cruise port.
Okay. Now, let me say this this way as I ask the question. Any Bahamians, rightly or wrongly, who will listen to the opportunities that you say will be provided, whether to provide some of the entertainment on the beach or the food or these kinds of things. I mean, just a great many opportunities in a situation like this. Who will think to themselves, yeah, but you know how that go. That's going to be for the narrow group of selected people who get to go and do it, hooking up with the politician to do this, et cetera. Your procurement process for all the things that are being made available is what? I mean, like, how are you proceeding with your search for potential providers?
Well, the important thing is to say we're not yet doing that. We've got to get through our environmental clearance first. We've made it very clear that this is, the government has approved us in principle, pending environmental clearance. And there's a relatively stringent environmental process that we're working through with DEP right now.
Okay.
As we see that process move through this year, as we move through kind of a design for 2024, we'll start that procurement process.
Okay, and so wonderful. That clears the way for us to get into this issue of environment, but I have to do that after a break. So,
no worries.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm here speaking with Jay Schneider. Am I correct?
Jay Schneider.
Who is one of the vice presidents for Royal Caribbean, and also we're here with Diane Phillips, who of course is providing, I suppose, marketing services to the group. And we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion about the proposed project on Paradise Island. We'll be back after this break.
MyGateway is the centralized, safe, secure way to access and pay for government services online. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and log in to request a police character certificate, renew your passport or driver's license, and more. Receive emails confirming requests and alerts when documents are ready. You must have a valid government-issued ID in order to collect documents. MyGateway is fast, easy, and convenient. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and register today.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
My mommy made sure that I was vaccinated because she loves me.
Getting our precious little ones vaccinated protects them from so many diseases like polio, measles, and whooping cough. Vaccines are safe and effective. Immunizations can prevent illnesses and even death.
As we celebrate our 50th year of independence, let's move forward to protecting ourselves and each other from vaccine-preventable diseases, upward to achieving the highest vaccination rates in the region, and onward to a safer, healthier Bahamas. We, through Providence, Lizard and Town Clinic, Flamingo Gardens Clinic, Elizabeth Estate Clinic, or if you're in the Family Island Clinic, visit any of your routine vaccination clinics for vaccines. COVID-19 vaccines are also available.
This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, and USAID.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today as we speak with Jay Snyder of Royal Caribbean. And we're also here with Diane Phillips, and we're talking about the proposed project for Paradise Island. Lots to get a period of time. Brother Snyder, I'm so sorry.
Just call me Jay. Just call me Jay. It's all good.
Jay, okay, yeah. My mom tell me, you know, you're supposed to have regard for people you don't know all that well, so I should call you Mr. Nope. But I'll call you Jay. That'll help me get through it. All right. So the project, this project that you are proposing, do you have a project like this elsewhere in the world?
No, actually, I'd say no, and we're taking the model that we have here and looking to expand it elsewhere in the world. So as we developed this partnership with the government, it kind of struck us that this was a great model to propose to other governments. So as we're looking at building beach clubs elsewhere in the world, we're actually taking the Bahamas model and applying it elsewhere. And it's been well received by governments elsewhere in its early stages. So it's actually something that we've given the Bahamas credit for as we've gone through that.
Okay, and let me ask you, do you have to do as a condition of your final approval an environmental assessment or an environmental impact study? Because there is a difference.
Yeah, so as part of the process, we have to go through an environmental impact assessment, which is based on terms that DEP had signed off on related to the studies that were required. We had met all of those requirements. We had to hold an open public hearing, which we did on September 8th, 2021. We in the government, when the new government came in, we in the government didn't feel it was appropriate to respond to those questions until we had a new deal in place that really addressed the socioeconomic and really Bahamian participation. And so we didn't respond to those questions. We've now reached the approval in principle. We've continued to study the environment in and around Paradise Island, not the marine environment in and around the entire island, as we've continued to formulate and adjust our environmental plans. And so it's not just studies, it's environmental impact assessment. And then the next couple steps in the process dilemma are, one, us publishing all of the, I think, 120 plus questions we've gotten today. To date. Number two is we're holding another supplemental public meeting, hopefully in the next 6 to 8 weeks, to answer additional questions about the environmental. And then number three is eventually the publication, hopefully in the kind of midsummer period, of an environmental management plan, which also will be available for public critique and question. And so, it's a rigorous, kind of stringent process that we will continue to go through to get to environmental clearance or certification of environmental clearance.
And if I could add two things.
Yes, go ahead, Dan.
So two things. One, I think Jay did not mention, though he said it several times in the last few days, that a Bahamian will be hired to monitor the environment. So this will be a very well, highly respected Bahamian environmental scientist who will be hired full-time to do nothing more than monitor and make sure that all environmental standards are upheld. And secondly, I think one of the things that, and maybe we haven't been strong enough about it, but you always put a company or a person in record of behavior into perspective. Like, if this had been a company that fouled the waters or something over the years, you might feel slightly different. But Royal Caribbean, it has been the leader in sustainability worldwide in the cruise industry. And I would love to invite you to come on to one of the ships like Harmony or Wonder and see the most modern state-of-the-art recycling, compressing, reuse, the wastewater treatment. You can take wastewater from 6,000 passengers, boil it down to clear water that their environmentalist has actually taken a drink of. I might be a little bit hesitant, you might be a little bit hesitant, but that's how clear it is. So it's got the finest tertiary treatment, and that water, and it's the same thing that will happen on Paradise Island, and same thing happening now as they complete the $20 million investment in Coco Key, which is the wastewater treatment system. Brand new $20 million just to make sure that there's no environmental damage from wastewater.
I'm happy you mentioned the track record, but let me just get to one thing before we get to that. The submissions that you are to make in respect of your environmental impact assessment, have those submissions been made yet? Other than the environmental management plan?
Yes, they have. What hasn't been done...
You're in the position of the BAS Commission, I suppose it is.
What hasn't been done is we haven't submitted the responses to the first public consultation. That is pending a decision on how we do that. There's a process for it. because we're doing a supplemental public meeting, there's just open questions of how we do it, but we're committed to fully and transparently answering. Like I said, there were something like 120 questions that were submitted during the last round of questioning. Those questions kind of hit three buckets. You know, bucket one was environment and related specifically to environmental questions, some of which I'll try to answer today. Number two, project related. There's been a lot of misconceptions about the project details, despite us trying to get the word out. So, for example, I continue to read in the paper from folks that we're going to build overwater cabanas. We have no intentions of building overwater cabanas. They're not in our site plan. We're not doing it. And then the third bucket is of questions that were submitted were what I would call completely unrelated harassment. And that would be questions like, can you tell me the salary of every one of your board of directors, which we're obviously not required to answer as part of an environmental process.
Please, I couldn't give it up. Come on, please. Anyway, can I ask you, actually, and I'm going to say it how it's been told to me on any number of occasions by either environmentalists or others, okay? They suggest that you cannot be trusted because your track record on environmental issues is not good. And I heard Diane Phillips say the exact opposite. And so how do you speak to that? I mean, I'm telling you what I've been told, that your track record is not good. No one has offered me ever that, but I'm just saying this is a part of the narrative.
Sure. I get that. And listen, I'll give you the facts. I'm a believer that the best way to share information is use real facts. So in 1998, I think it's 25 years ago, we were fined in the U.S. for a small percentage of our ships falsifying records and dumping wastewater in a part of the world we shouldn't have been doing. That was 25 years ago. It led to a series of commitments that we've lived up to day in and day out for 25 years. We report our environmental status to international and U.S. federal agencies on an annual basis.
So no breaches within 25 years?
Nope. We've led the industry, to Diane's point, in the modernization of waste, water, and energy on board our vessels. We've been for, I think this is the eighth year in a row, certified more ethical companies on the planet. As part of Ethosphere. Again, just as a part of a commitment to live up to everything that I've just described. And then we continue to lead the modernization of future fleets, whether that's the introduction of Icon of the Seas, which will be our first LNG-based vessel, or Utopia of the Seas, which will also be an LNG-based vessel, really doing a largely Bahamian itinerary. The whole idea is to continue to improve while continuing to grow tourism, which is you know, our mantra is to deliver amazing vacations, but do so responsibly. And we've been committed to that for decades, and we'll be committed to that for decades to come.
Royal Caribbean and Carnival are partners in the Grand Bahama Shipyard. Is that not so?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, right? Because the reason why I mentioned that was I have a youth leadership development group, and we annually do what we call a grandmama tour. And one of the places we go to in Grand Bahama, one of the things that's amazing about the shipyard is, notwithstanding all that industrial work that's being done there, there's still live fish in the water, and you can see straight to the bottom of the water. And they tout that as a part of their environmental standards down there.
Yeah, listen, I think hopefully you saw, and if you didn't, we've made, independent of the environmental process that we're required to go through, we've made kind of six environmental commitments as it relates to the development of Paradise Island. And I think they're worth just hammering home, because when you look at our economic commitments and our environmental commitments, I really would challenge any development, cruise, marine, land, to try to live up to those economic and environmental commitments. And so from an environmental perspective, it's zero waste to landfill. Not a lot of companies can say they're going to put zero waste from their guests into the landfill. So zero waste to landfill is the first one. The second one is 100% renewable energy by 2030 and essentially net zero carbon by 2030 for the Royal Beach Club. And that's largely going to be through solar, wind, hydropower, or really green energy production, as well as other kind of carbon sinks that will help. Number three is we've committed to not dredging. So no dredging in and around Paradise Island. And that went along with no overwater cabanas, which we felt we had to call out because people continue to tell us we're building overwater cabanas, even though we're not. Number four is a best-in-class waste treatment facility. And by that, I mean, we, as Diane said, we're in the, we've got a $20 million project on Coco Key, which has two phases. Phase one was is waste treatment. Phase two is solid waste. And the waste treatment facility opened in May of 2022 and has been a gold standard for us that we tend on uneven eclipsing on Paradise Island. And that is 100% of all of the waste generated on Paradise Island. Wastewater will be treated through primary, secondary, tertiary treatment and reused for beneficial reuse. And there's a number of different ways you can use that treated water. And then in addition to it, the remaining byproduct, which our experience shows us is less than 5%, we will be partnering with a local company that we've already been in discussion with to expand their capability to then basically recycle that byproduct to create green mulch that then can further be used for landscaping and vegetation growth. And then we're committed to protecting the island's habitat. As we talked about earlier, the vast majority of this land is under significant disrepair. And when you look at the totality of all of it, including the Crown land, it is Great Beach. But it's also significantly overrun with invasive species and non-native plants. And so our commitment is, and the commitment has been, to remove the invasive species, which is what has been a direct ask of the government. And then, as Diane already mentioned, local environmental monitoring. Remember that there's a tough local Bahamian in place to keep us honest as we go through construction and eventual operation. And that'll be a scorecard created that we publish monthly to show how we're progressing against those six commitments, as well as everything else that's detailed in our environmental management plan.
I actually think that the scorecard is something that if they create it and it works well, and I can see no reason why it wouldn't, it should be a model for other construction projects going forward. There's, you can just imagine, so let's say that there are 100 construction workers out there, and you don't even want them to throw a can of soda or something somewhere where it shouldn't be. So if you have monitors on the job site at all times, and you show that there isn't any unwanted trash or anything being thrown up in a bush, it can set an example for other construction sites, because we go through this all the time. All the development that's going on in the Bahamas right now, this is just one of many. But I do believe that it can be an example. And look, nobody's saying that in the old days, the cruise industry was a bunch of angels. Nobody is saying that. But they learned from their mistakes, and Royal Caribbean has led the way in sustainability. You may be aware, Shivargo, that not long ago they just opened the first cruise port terminal that is 100% solar. 100% solar. It's a huge terminal in Galveston, Texas.
Well, Texas, of all places.
Where oil and, you know, oil is their commodity. They must have been hated for doing this with it because oil and gas runs the economy in Texas. But they opened a solar powered cruise terminal. And
first in the world.
And wait. Go ahead, finish up.
I'm just going to say most cruise terminals don't even have shore power because it would consume so much of the power it would take away from whatever city they're in. So they wanted to do something that would be environmentally sound and still allow for shore power in Texas. And you probably saw that the Ministry of Tourism just had a big promotional tour in Texas and said we're getting so many more visitors now from Texas. In part, stayover visitors, and in large part, cruise.
Can I ask Jay? Is your EIA available for scrutiny by members of the public?
It is. It's available on our website. If you Google Royal Caribbean Group, Royal Beach Club, you'll be able to find it. And then we're committed to posting in the coming weeks as we publish our Q&A, our 120 Q&A. We're going to post that publicly on our website. We're going to post our environmental commitments on our website. We're going to post our scorecards on our website. And we're in the process of posting all of the studies that we've done. We've studied coral is a good example. You're required to do a certain, our terms of reference in our EIA required, you know, X, Y, and Z coral studies. We've continued to study coral in and around Nassau Harbor and in the northern shore of Paradise Island continually, because we're trying to really understand to make sure that we have as you know, as we go through the most detailed knowledge of the habitat and marine environment available. And it's led to interesting observations. You know, in some cases, I was reading one of the studies on my flight over this morning. In some of the coral, it recommends, even though we're not touching it, not even coming close to it, still recommends that we opportunistically move it because it's located in a part of the marine habitat that likely will mean its demise, and it would be advantageous to move it. And so we've continued to do iterative study, and we will continue to do long past operation, continued study of the environment.
I have a number of rapid fire questions for you because we're running out of time because you have to go, not because we don't have time, but I think you have another appointment. The number of new visitors you will be bringing as a result of this project, well, what's that number?
We'll have grown from 1 million in 2017 to 2.5 million in 2027.
Okay, 2.5 million. And the number of employees during your construction phase?
We're currently saying in the hundreds. We don't have a perfect estimate of construction because part of this is getting, you know, open and transparent bids out to local Bahamian companies to help with the construction, and that'll kind of dictate the final numbers, but I would say hundreds during construction and hundreds during operation.
So you said you don't have a definitive number either for your operations?
No, because again, if you think of the ecosystem that gets created, and a comment I wanted to make, you asked about procurement and how we would go through the procurement process. I won't be going through the procurement process. We're hiring one of the first hires of the Royal Caribbean Beach Club will be a local Bahamian president of the Royal Beach Club. And he or she will be the one who's going to be leading here locally that procurement for us. But as we go through that, it's not just about the footprint of what we think the number of jobs are, for example, number of lifeguards or, you know, number of people we have to feed. It's also about the indirect benefit that creates. So the people who have to move goods and services throughout the island, the drivers, the packers, the people that help to help with the orchestration of that. And so kind of a radial impact to employment around the Bahamas.
Sure, those induced economic activities are certainly how we define our indirect contribution to tourism, up to 45, almost 50%, some would say.
That's right.
But the percentage of Bahamian working, by the way, I'm asking this because some people are texting me these questions. Trying to go through it. The percentage of your operational workers that would be likely Bahamians would be reliable, what you'd say?
Percentage of eventual work, the goal is 100%. The goal is that if we fall from that goal, I don't know how we would, but it would be because we couldn't find them. But the goal is 100%.
Okay. And then your timeline, based on what you told me, was that you don't get to procurement until 2024.
We don't plan on opening until 2025, and so trying to do procurement now, so if you think of the timeline.
Which is kind of strange for me because, you know, I mean, the Prime Minister said that he expected ground to be broken imminently, immediately.
The Prime Minister's great. He's pro-Bahamian development. We're Bahamian development. He wants us to move fast, but we have to move diligently. And so we're being responsible and moving diligently. We're also a big corporation. So, you know, we're not the fastest always at some of our processes, as Diane knows too well. And so this year is planned for environment, design, continued consultation next year, and the Bahamian equity raise. It's hard to start construction because of the type of Bahamian participation in this entity until we really get through that participation phase, which means really construction, meaningful construction, will happen this year. There are things that we hope to do this year. Sorry, major construction will be next year. There are things we hope to do this year. So, for example, assuming we get through environmental certification, when we get through environmental certification, cleaning the site is step one, right? There's, leftover garbage from people who abandoned buildings and places. Garbage apparently has been dumped on the property, and you can see it in and around the harbor, which is unfortunate. And so starting a rigorous cleanup and kind of demolishing the very unsafe buildings that are still there on the private property. And there's a couple of facilities on the public land as well. The idea is, that could start ahead of time, but largely construction will be in 24, with a target of, we're basically saying summer 25 opening.
These things take time too, Shibargo. For instance, there was a hot sauce contest that was on, and the judging was on one of the ships, and Sherelle Cartwright won with her brand called Mama Sassy's. Well, that must have been over a year ago, but it now finally is being sold. It's being used at Coco Key. It's being sold at Coco Key. But it took her that long just to scale up, gear up to sell. So you think one little bottle of hot sauce that I don't know what it sells for, $7, $9, something. And what it takes, the glass bottles, the labeling, the shipping, the quality control, that's one small product. And they are guaranteeing to do everything Bahamian. So just multiply it 1,010 times.
Well, I'm sorry you're going to have to go, Jay, but there are some questions here. Notwithstanding, I'm into the news break, so I'm but maybe another time.
Well, we got a few minutes. I
have to take a news break. If you can wait till after the news break, otherwise I have to take a news break and then we have to come back.
We have to leave here at about 3:20.
Okay, good. We'll get you out then, because I think you might want to hear these questions.
Okay, super.
All right? Okay, super. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shibargo Lang, your host. We're going to take a break from you. We'll be back after the news break.
Everybody, come take my mind. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
After a hurricane or storm, get the Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide. The guide will tell you where to purchase building and cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and much more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches and after it departs. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, or call your account executive. Will you be prepared?
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shibargo Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. As we speak with Mr. Jay Schneider of Royal Caribbean, as well as Diane Phillips. And we're talking about the proposed projects for Paradise Island. Jay, let me ask you this question. A company has or could only have 100% ownership. My understanding is you propose to make 49% of your beach club available locally. Is that true?
Yep, that's right. So up to 49%. And the way to think about it is the 4 acres of Crown land will be valued and converted as equity, essentially in the beach club. And whatever the delta is from that equity, the remaining will be made available through an equity fund.
Okay, so I love to educate my public on page. So there's 49% that you'll make up to, 49% you'll make available.
Yep.
The Crown land will be given an evaluation, and I'm just being fictitious.
Yep.
Let's say that valuation gives it a value that amounts to, say, 20%. Then that means the balance of the 45% less 29%, 16 or thereabouts will be available to Amy.
That's the right way to do the formula.
Okay.
But I suspect the equity will be for the average Bahamian will be higher than that. But that's the right way to think.
I just want people to understand that that's 40 up to 49%, and that will include the converted value of the Crown land, and then after that, direct equity participation by Bahamians will be the case. But that's the way it should be structured. Somebody asked that question, man.
Yep, great.
Okay, now let me read this text for you. Notwithstanding all that you said, this text... I don't know why it's hiding from me now. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. What they are planning on doing will destroy that beautiful place. They don't live here. They are here to make money for their company. Says this.
Is that a question or a statement?
It's actually a statement, and I just wanted you to speak to it. Once again, I heard what you said before, but
yeah,
it's good to read.
I kind of look at it again through a couple different views, and you know, not everybody's going to agree with me on this, but no other development in the tourism space has ever committed to a public-private partnership to really ensure that profits stay in the Bahamas like we've done. Especially in the tourism space. And if you look at the percentage of land versus the percentage of land we own versus Crown land, it's roughly 75, 25, 76, 24, something like that. But we're offering up to 49% equity, which means we're technically offering equity in land that we've poured millions and millions of dollars in as well. So we're actually giving a disproportionate amount of equity for the land that is being participated as Crown land. So from a economic perspective, outside of 100% Bahamian employment, about outside of the business opportunity created, the second part of it really comes down to the environment. You know, and I know there have been, you know, small boat parties that have gone to look at the beach and cherish the beach, but you kind of have to walk up the beach and go into the land to see a couple things. One, again, it's some parts of the property are very dangerous, and so we encourage people not to go, only because it's significant land in disrepair. It's garbage littered throughout the western end of Paradise Island in that private property, and unfortunately in some of the Crown land. And so our plan is to revitalize it and do so to restore the habitat, restore the beauty of it, and help remove invasive species of trees and plants that have grown up there over time. So, you know, people are going to look at it skeptical until we have proof points. People looked at, until we released our economic message a couple weeks ago, people were skeptical. Even Eric Carey in an op-ed the other day said that he thought that whatever happens with the beach club, our economic public-private partnership is probably how future development should happen. So if you think of it from that perspective, as people hear the facts, they kind of get it. And as we hear from people, we keep adjusting our plans.
The one thing that's certain about that statement is that for the moment, it doesn't seem to be grounded in anything at all that I have heard can confirm. This says, this next text says, the steps being described are legal requirements. Your guest suggested these are voluntary measures.
I don't think they're, I mean, there are some that are legally required in those steps. There are others that are not. We weren't legally required to put out 6 environmental principles that go further than any other development anywhere in the Bahamas. We weren't required, or we won't be, we aren't required to necessarily post, independent studies beyond our EIA. We're going to do that too. It is not to do a supplemental public hearing. We were happy to do that as well. So I would argue that we're going above what is the legal required, and we're going to continue to go above the legal required because that's just how we typically do work.
Nor was it required for the company to post a scorecard every month.
Will be.
To do that every single month once construction starts. Nor was it required for them to hire early on a full-time environmental expert as a consultant. And actually, I think that there will be 2 because one will be a coral reef expert and the other will be a general environmental management assessment and management expert.
In my public and private life over 30 years, I have never seen a significant foreign-owned enterprise in the Bahamas express concerns and challenge an approved, even if in principle, project, another owned project approved in principle even by the government, as Atlantis did. What do you understand to be Atlantis's major concern concerning your project?
Listen, Atlantis. Without details, I understand they have questions. They had questions on the economic benefit. We've answered most of the economic questions. They have questions on the environment. We've answered not enough of their questions for the reasons I've explained. We've shared our environmental principles. They will be neighbors. We will keep answering the environmental questions that they have. They've had security-related questions. We've made security commitments to them privately. For example, their concern is that our guests would wander down the beach and all invade Atlantis's property. We've made it very clear that we would prevent that from happening. We'll sell our guests a ticket only to the Royal Beach Club. And if they want to go experience other parts of NASA, including Atlantis, they'd have to buy a tour to Atlantis, come off the island and head over there. We hope to, like I said, in partnership with a local Bahamian company, a new vibrant water taxi business. One of the routes that I'm most excited about is taking the water taxi from either downtown Nassau or from the Royal Beach Club over to Baja Mar. We understand they're going to have questions and concerns. We hope as part of us continuing to share information that they will put their concerns to ease and we'll keep happily answering all of the questions that they pose. But beyond that, I can't understand the calculus for them.
This text says Joe Darvill spoke about the trees holding the sand and the coral reef offshore that acts as a breakwater. Can RCI guarantee that their activity won't destroy the vegetation responsible for the natural sand dune? And I stress natural because we want sand to remain even if the site is abandoned, not have to be trucked in. Also, that activity will not kill coral reef. Again, Joe Darvill cited the increase in sunscreen runoff from 2,000 plus people daily.
Yeah, so again, it's all about getting kind of information and facts out. One of the things that we as a company are committed to, we do is we only sell environmentally friendly sunscreen. It's been one of the things we've committed to for a while, and we'll do that here. We do that on our ships. And so that's been, just an important part of making sure that we source responsible products for tourists as tourists, transit the world themselves. We've committed to no dredging. Like I said, we've probably studied coral in and around Paradise Island more than anybody else. We just completed another study that I haven't even seen the report for that wrapped up a couple of weeks ago. And we will continue to iteratively study the coral footprint in and around Paradise Island and continue to adjust our plans accordingly. So we're committed to making sure we do everything we can not to disrupt it. And from a vegetation standpoint, our only disruption to the vegetation that's planned is the removal of invasive and not a native species, which has been a commitment that we've made to the government.
In fact, the government has requested it. Royal Carol, we want to leave it as natural as possible. There are all those casuarina trees there. Government says, no, you've got to remove those trees. So it would, while they will protect the sea oats that protect the dune, and it's natural that they would want to do it because you want to preserve that elevation. It's very, very important to keep that elevation and keep the sand accreting. So they will protect that, but they will be required to remove the invasive species, which are the casuarinas.
Yeah, we've been removing Australian pine out of Coco Key for a couple of years now, at the request of the Environmental and Forest Management Policy of the government. And it's unfortunate. It's fortunate. We understand the environmental reasoning behind it, but it's a great shaded tree.
Yeah. Remember when there was that whole sort of natural canopy along Cable Beach. And mm-hmm. I think that Lynn Holowesko was president of the Bahamas National Trust at the time, and she said it has to come down. It's invasive, and it's true. It does. It was creating problems in the roadworks as well as with other vegetation that can't grow underneath it. It's very acidic. So we have three species here. We don't have very much Melaleuca, only a tiny bit. But you've got Melaleuca, you got Brazilian pepper, also known as Florida holly, and you have the Australian pine, known as casuarina. Those are the three major invasive species, and if found on the property, they will be required to move. Well, we know that the casuarinas are, so they're being required to remove them. I think that my friend Joe Darville, please relax about those sea oats and the sand dunes. Everybody loves the dunes as much as you do, my friend.
Okay, well, I think that's your time then, sir. So I'm trying to honor your 20 minutes, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you very much. I think it was informative and helpful to those of us who've been able to listen. We'll wait to see how the responses go to your environmental submission. I understand that you don't get past that, you don't get your project.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll wait to see that, and please feel free to come back and update us anytime you wish. We'd love to keep tracking how this moves along.
Happily come back anytime.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Jay Snyder of Royal Caribbean and Diane Phillips of Diane Phillips and Associates, and so grateful they could join us today. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
Argo, thank you to your listening audience.
You're welcome.
Mommy made sure that I was vaccinated because she loves me.
Getting our precious little ones vaccinated protects them from so many diseases like polio, measles, and whooping cough. Safe and effective. Immunizations can prevent illnesses and even death.
As we celebrate our 50th year of independence, let's move forward to protecting ourselves and each other from vaccine-preventable diseases. Upward to achieving the highest vaccination rates in the region, and onward to a safer, healthier Bahamas. We can achieve this together. In New Providence, Lizard and Town Clinic, Flamingo Gardens Clinic, Elizabeth Estate Clinic, or if you're in the Family Island Clinic, visit any of your routine vaccination clinics for vaccines. COVID-19 vaccines are also available.
This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, and USAID.
Sweet and heat, meet Burger King Nassau. Introducing the new Mango Habanero King that features a signature mango habanero sauce, two flame grilled beef patties, two slices of cheese, bacon, and spicy jalapenos, all on a toasted sesame seed bun. Enjoy the Mango Habanero King in a combo or ask for the plant-based version. Either way, this sandwich offers just enough sweet to bring on the heat. The new Mango Habanero King from Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. Yesterday, actually it was this morning, someone texted me a news item. Eyewitness News, and it was Justin. Police in the northern Bahamas are investigating the alleged sexual assault of a woman in Bimini, according to authorities. Police, via a release Monday evening, confirmed that a 20-year-old woman of Kaki, Bimini, alleged she was sexually assaulted Sunday, April 23rd, 2023. Preliminary reports revealed that shortly before 10 a.m. Sunday, officers attached to the Kaki police station received reports of a sexual assault of a female by a man known to her. As a result, officers in Kaki arrested an adult male from Kaki Bimini who is assisting with this investigation. Now listen, the other day we were talking about the accusation of rape against a sitting member of parliament. And we indicated that the police follows a procedure in that in these things, and that it wasn't and might not be unusual that the police might take a couple of days, weeks in this instance, to question, yea, arrest the accused. And then lo and behold, a lady in khaki alleges that she was assaulted by someone known to her, not a stranger, someone known to her. Okay? Well, as we understand it, in the case of the allegation involving the sitting member of parliament, this was the lady was assaulted by someone known to her. Police said to us, we have to take our time. We're not going to be under any public pressure. We have to take our time and we do our investigations. And then when we finish our investigations, we decide whether we're going to be going to question. From the timeline of this story in Khaki, that allegation was made on 23rd. And that a person was arrested shortly thereafter. Shortly thereafter. See, listen, man. I love the police force. I believe and have confidence in our police force. No question about it. Quite capable. But these are the kinds of things that cause people to question the veracity of what we say. Because in the one instance, one set of things appears to have been done. In another instance, another set of things appears to be, have been done. Now, we are being told by the commissioner that the member of parliament will be questioned, not arrested, will be questioned. In another instance, we got a person, according to the news story, arrested. Not days or weeks later, shortly after the claim of the assault. Different treatment for different people under the law? That's the question people will raise. Don't get upset with me. I'm saying these are the things that we have to guard against because they can diminish confidence in our processes. Because truthfully, I mean, on the face of it, why would people not think, well, that's two different standards for two different kinds of people? Why would not people think that? They have to, on the face of the things, think that unless somebody provides an explanation as to the difference in the two cases. What's the difference in the two cases? One is AMP and one is not. No, that's not the difference. This is the difference. Somebody has to give an explanation. The sitting MP has not been. I was actually stunned that the Prime Minister of our country, our beloved, said he would not comment on this matter, but that he will let the police do their jobs because they know how to do it. And that is true. I believed it. And then the Prime Minister went on to say that he spoke to the MP. The police didn't speak to the MP, the Prime Minister speaking to the MP. And then he said that someone told him that the lady was no longer interested in pressing charges. And I was like, wow. That's incredible. Here you are in the instance of Katki, an assault alleged and an arrest made shortly thereafter. What, please, somebody, tell us what the practice and procedures are. And if there is a difference depending on circumstances, please tell us what they are so that we can be aware and then we can have a proper judgment made of the way we are proceeding with matters, particularly matters that involve people of political positions in the country. It is necessary. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lesh. How are you?
I'm okay. And yourself?
I'm doing good. Giving God thanks for another day. Giving God thanks to be able to listen to you. I must congratulate you that you are a knowledgeable, stable, well-thinking young man. Congratulations.
Thank you, ma'am.
Continue to do that which you do to keep you on top. You on top. One of the best.
I appreciate
now,
your saying so. Thank you.
My gripe is, and I'm not learned like you, and I'm not trying to recite so many things anymore like that, but I believe that Royal Caribbean has had more than enough in the... We do not need to sell the Bahamas. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. We don't need to put any more eggs in Royal Caribbean's basket. Let them find another country, another place to do the rest of what they have to do. And if needs be, if they have to pull out, we are a nation, I'm sure, who believe and trust God. And God says to us that he will supply our every need. And so therefore, if we stay and allow people to, let's say murder us, not literally murder us, but take everything out of our hands, you know, make it like a little challenge. Not that God is challenged now, but those of us who know God and His Word know that He isn't particularly challenged like that. But He has given us free will, knowledge, understanding, and all that thing. So we would like very, there are many of us in the Bahamas who would like very much for Royal Caribbean to continue with what they have already and move on. We don't want another thing given to Royal Bahamas, Royal Caribbean in this Bahamas, right?
But can I ask? Can I ask you a question, Mom? Can
yes,
I ask
sir.
You a question?
Yes, sir.
You say you say we don't want Royal Caribbean to be given anything. Now,
no,
you remember just a minute. You remember I asked Royal Caribbean if the land that they bought, who did they buy the land from, right? And they said 13 acres was privately owned land. So some of that was owned by foreigners, including Nicolas Cage, as he indicated, right? Do we actually own that land? I mean, that's not ours. It's, the 4 acres is crown land, which the government is allowing to be used for the project, but the government is using that land to convert into equity ownership for us. So you see what I'm saying? As in, when you say we don't need it,
I see. Okay, part of it was private, or the majority of it was private that they bought, and then
yes.
they are now in turn trying to get the government, the remainder that belonged to government. That's it. Long and short.
Yes, and not only are they getting the 4 acres from the government is using that and saying, I'm investing in the project, and therefore I'm going to have shares in the project. That's what the government's saying.
Okay.
You see, and also they're saying all of the activities on the property are going to be Bahamian-owned and operated. All the food providers, all the entertainment and that kind of thing. So only thing that they are doing is I can't say the only thing, but they get to bring their guests on these cruise ships. We don't bring those guests in. They get to be paid by those guests, and then they take those guests to this beach club, and all the Bahamians who own the food eateries will supply them with food. Bahamians who own the non-motorized entertainment will provide that according to them. The ferrying of them between the boat and this beach club is going to happen by Bahamian operator ferry.
I see. Okay. Well, what we really need on our side is knowledgeable persons in every area to scrutinize exactly what they're doing. I don't mean people
yes.
talking from the top of their head, but educated
yes.
person who can scrutinize stuff and know where we are going or where we most likely will end up in the next 5 or 10 years, whatever. So I'm
yes.
going to settle a little bit on what you said. Because I do trust your judgment. I didn't come in at the beginning, but when I
right.
came in, I was really riled up in my spirit because I see them as...
I asked them all your questions,
right?
Ma'am. All your questions. They indicated actually that up to 49% of that beach club business is going to be owned by Bahamians.
I see. All right, then.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'll continue to listen, and now I'm going to... research a little bit more.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm still skeptical
yes, ma'am.
A little bit. But thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're doing a good job.
And continue to do it. And not only that, you're doing, you're sharing. You've shared with so many persons, right? Certified persons who've been certified here in Bahamas as well as in the United States. All right? So forth and so on. So they get a cross-section of educational experiences. So thank you so very much. God bless
you're
you.
You're welcome.
Continue.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Okay, so again, the police is now going to, they say, question the MP, continues to unfold. I was just baffled. I was really, like, when I got sent that story, it was something. But also, thankfully, the commissioner indicated crime is down, that in the crimes against a person, murder and assault and attempted murder, these things, all down, with the exception of rape, you indicated. So that's good news. That's this year compared to same time last year. So we don't know what will happen for the remainder of the year. Hopefully we continue on that trend, but he did indicate that things are headed in the right direction insofar as the numbers are concerned. And so we have to acknowledge that and be grateful for that and to be hopeful that we continue to move in that same direction. Now, you know, for me, whenever I hear about trends up or down, I have to ask myself now, is this just an accident of history or the result of happenstance, or was there some policy, was there some effort, some project, some program that brought this about? I couldn't and did not get that from what was written, reported, but you always want to know that. Is the police doing something? Is the government doing something? Is the society doing something that's changing this? Because if those are the things that are moving stuff in a particular direction, then those are the things that you want to continue to do. And when we hear reports, we seldom get to hear that what in fact contributed to this move in that direction was this policy, this program, this project, that project. So we don't know. So we then left to hope, pray, and wonder, you know, whether things will continue along. Of course, you know, human beings, when you even create efforts to prevent them from doing something negative, can adjust their behavior so that they get around that. And so you are always constantly having to make required adjustments to keep moving in a given direction. But the commissioner also observed something that we spoke about, which is that, you know, there's a revolving door with respect to people being accused of murder, getting bail, then being accused of murder again, then getting bail, and that is creating a challenge for the society. And I mean, if we could hate denial of bail all we want, we could and rightly believe that people are innocent until proven guilty and ought to be able to, in most instances, be able to get bail. But the fact of the matter is, when we look at the statistics as to how many persons out on bail become victims of murder and how many of them become the perpetrators of murders, then we have to ask ourselves the question as a society is, should we let this continue? Should we let this prevail? Or knowing what we know, ought we to do something? If we know that you are giving a life sentence to 40% of those who are accused of murder by giving them bail, and if you are given license to almost to 40-60% of people who are accused of murder go and get bail, ought you to continue along that line, or ought you to think, maybe I ought to look at this bail scenario a little bit more closely and decide to do something different. Do something different, even if I'm doing it just to save lives. After all, isn't that the whole point of justice? Isn't that the whole point of prison? Isn't that the whole point of rehabilitation? To save life and property? To save a society? If we want to reform an inmate, how do we reform a person at risk, accused of murder, by giving them liberal opportunity to be killed? We could say on the side of those who are accused of murder after giving bail, we could say, well, they're only accused of murder, so they're innocent and they're proven guilty. We could say that. But what we can say definitively is the 40% who were accused of murder, who came out on bail and got killed, we know they are dead. There's no doubt about what happened to them. So if you want to express doubts on the side of the innocence of those accused of murder after being out on bail, having been accused of murder, you cannot have doubts about those accused of murder having gotten bail being murdered. There's no doubt about that. We have the coroner's report, we have the body, we have the circumstances, the police investigations, and we therefore know what is happening there. So do you want to save lives or don't you? And we know the probability is you're saving lives on both sides. You're saving the life of the accused, and you're saving the lives of people who may be victimized by the accused. And again, as I indicated before, I don't share Prime Minister Gonzalez's view that you should come bring this down on the heads of judges. I just think that the policymakers and lawmakers provide the judges and them with the instructions you desire and the interpretation you desire and with clarity about how the laws are about. And if you send that law and they interpret it another kind of way, go back to the parliament and do it again. Don't let them frustrate you. They have their power, you have yours. You have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, right here, my friend. How are you?
Hi, thanks. He's an economist. $24 billion. $24 billion with a B, dollars. That's a lot of money.
It depends on who you are asking. If you are asking $24 billion in the context of the U.S. economy, that's a lot of money, but it's certainly relatively not a big set of money when your economy is more than $1 trillion.
Yeah, well, RCL got debt of $24 billion. We don't need to get
No, sir. Our debt is not $24 billion. Not even
RCL is $24 billion in debt. You need that round here?
First of all, my friend, I don't know that that is true. But when you're talking about businesses and their debt, you have to talk about that with a little bit more information than that. Many Bahamians make say $50,000
down 50% from 5 years ago.
Okay. Do you want to say something else so I can let you say? All right, producer, we have to take a break. Let's take a break, and then when we come back, we continue our discussions. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'll be back.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
I ain't marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep. So filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity. It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it. My sales increased, and I can track my earnings. Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today. Call 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Some of you really, the caller who called just now, the gentleman who called just now, when you are operating outside of your knowledge base, you might well insult yourself when you are talking to people operating in theirs. Okay? To come on this radio and say, RCI has a debt of $21 billion. Who needs that here? Are you serious? Yeah. Are you serious? Serious? Because knowledgeable people don't look at any number in isolation. No, knowledgeable people don't do that. That would be like saying to me, this person has a $50,000 income and has a $300,000 mortgage. That means they have a mortgage that's six times, the size of their mortgage is six times their income. But that doesn't matter, because if the mortgage is structured in such a way that they make maybe a $1,200, $1,500 payment a month, they are well capable of doing that. RCI takes in $8+ billion on an annual basis. However their mortgage is structured, however their debt is structured, they only got to meet the obligation. You don't even know what the debt structuring is. You have not a clue. You didn't mention any of that. You don't know what their service obligations are. None of that. But you would call here pretending to have a set of understanding about these matters. Amazon has $206 billion in debt. But it's almost a $1 trillion company though. Right, so you know, let's try to enlighten people, man. Don't play cute, especially when you operate in an environment where that is not your bailiwick. It's not going to be helpful, right? So, someone says, Minister Monroe said last week, 60% of people murdered last year were on bail for murder. Is this vigilante justice going on? Well, we don't know. We don't know. Some of it could be that, but some of it also could be the original feud and conflict that may have existed between the players to begin with. So, you know, it certainly could be vigilante. Could be some of that. We don't know exactly what the deal is. This text says, can you please explain equity ownership, layman's term? How do we benefit? Okay, so equity ownership really only means that you have shares in a company. And as long as you have shares in a company, that makes you a part owner of the company, right? And your equity would be whatever the company is valued, and you divide up that valuation into the number of shares. So let's say a company is valued at $10,000. Right? And then they have 1,000 shares. That means that each share of the company is worth $10. If you own 10% equity, meaning you own 10% of the shares, so that means you own 100 of those shares, then that means your ownership is worth and valued at $1,000. So that's what equity means. It means you don't hold debt. You didn't lend money to the company. You own a part of the company through your shareholdings, and you are therefore entitled to any dividends payments. And at the end of the day, if they ever liquidated the company and there's money left over, you are entitled to some share of that equal to the amount of your shareholding. That's what equity means. I hope that clarifies it some for you. This text is, good afternoon, sir. As a former police officer, yes, Boat was reported as raped, but in one case, the complaint saying she don't want the alleged perpetrator to get help I am sure the police officer doing their internal ask her if she is requesting police action, which would determine how the police proceed. The other case would be where police action is requested. Someone from police force needed to explain this to the public. Yeah, I could see you saying that, even though I'm not altogether sure, and you're a police, former police officer, I don't know. If somebody is accused of rape, so the victim goes in and says, "You raped me," that to the police, unless that person withdraws the claim of rape and says they weren't going to cooperate, like, what happens? Right? Because in this instance, you have somebody, the victim, who was actually on television and otherwise speaking about this alleged rape. Now, to my knowledge, that person has not come forward and said, "I want to withdraw my accusations, or I don't want any prosecution of this," and so forth. You know, we haven't heard that. So in that instance, why still has there not been a questioning of the person, given what happened in the cat key circumstance? Again, you're right. Someone from police force may well want to explain that to us. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. I listened to the interview with RCI.
Mm-hmm, yes, uh-huh.
That's what I want to say. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any investor that when they invest, they would invest in garbage. Nine of when investors take persons on a site, they don't see what they see. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Okay, good. Yes, the investors, they don't see what whoever they take with them, like how TJ said when he got his haul and those who was with him, as far as they're concerned, all they saw was garbage. Now, I don't know no part of Nassau to be garbage. So I just want to put some type of correction there, and also too,
let me ask you a question though.
Go ahead.
Have you been to the site? Have you been to the site?
I saw the little clip and I was on the news. And yes,
I'm asking you, have you been to the site?
As it pertains to how rocky and how hard the ground is and what else he has to do. Point well taken. All of that was taken into consideration at the beginning or at the negotiations. All that was already in his plan. Okay, when I come
back, but Royal Caribbean, hold on. Royal Caribbean didn't say that the property was garbage, you know. That's not what they said. That was not what they said. They said there was a great deal of buildings in disrepair. The place had been abandoned, and then there's garbage and other things. They didn't say, because you're right, nobody's going to buy garbage.
Now, next question. Sure, that 100% of their passengers are going to be wearing the environmentally friendly chemicals, and how environmentally friendly are these chemicals? Like, really, let's be serious now.
Hold on. See, because my time is limited, and then you're going to ask questions, and I'm going to run out of time. You're right. No, I don't think they can guarantee that anybody is wearing environmentally friendly sunscreen. But let me ask you a question. Does Atlantis do that? Does Bahama do that? Does any hotel in the Bahamas guarantee that the people who are visiting their hotels, who go into our waters, have environmentally friendly sunscreen, and we know that the sunscreen is environmentally friendly?
Well, sir, if you could answer me on this question.
Uh-huh.
Can Atlantis give us those daily numbers that Royal Caribbean can?
Of course they can.
First of all, September is slow. So how can Atlantis scan? Every hotel in September.
My friend. Because if you ever go to a hotel, do you not have to register to enter the hotel?
Of course, you have to register.
Okay, so if you have to register to enter the hotel, I know how many people are staying at my hotel every day. Every day, I know. That's easy. Even the hotel association keeps that count for you. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we are plumb out of time. So glad that you could join us here today. God bless you. You all have a wonderful, wonderful evening. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shamar. Thoughts best.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
See Live Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, the Digital Transformation Unit, RF Banking Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.